The story I'm going to tell is actually my most pants-scaring-off sort of story. It still creeps me out to this day. It was January of 1996, and I was with my girlfriend, Julie, at a bed and breakfast outside of Berkeley Springs, a few miles outside of Berkeley Springs, West Virginia, for a romantic getaway. And, you know, it was a nice little place. We were having fun. And the second night we were there, which I guess was a Saturday night, we were supposed to leave the next day, it started snowing. And by snowing, I mean snowing. It just would not stop. It was like a constant white fall of snow that was, it was unbelievable. So we kind of had a feeling we might wind up being stuck there. And I remember that night I woke up because it sounded like someone was throwing rocks or gravel at the window, and it was actually sleet. That night the snow turned to sleet for a couple hours. Then it turned to snow again. So by the time we were up and around in the morning, it had stopped snowing. But when we walked outside, my car was, you couldn't even see my car. It was completely covered. The drifts were 6-7 feet high against the building. The road was completely impassable. So, you know, we kind of realized we were stranded. And the nice couple that ran the B&B said, sure, just stay another night, which was very kind, because we couldn't have gone very far anyway had we wanted to. So the next night, it starts snowing again. And at this point, the winds pick up. They're like 40, 45 mile per hour wind gusts. So it's completely white out outside. And it just keeps snowing and snowing and snowing all night. If you remember, that's now known as the blizzard of 1996, when the whole eastern seaboard basically got hit with a double whammy of snow, the first snowfall and then the second one. In some parts of West Virginia, it was like 48 inches of snow. So, you know, we didn't have a whole lot to do. We're stuck at the B&B. We got a couple bottles of wine. Thankfully, they still had plenty of wine. We did, you know, other things that young couples do when they're at a romantic B&B getaway. And after Julie went to sleep, I took 40 milligrams of melatonin. I don't know if you, probably most of you know what melatonin is. It's an over-the-counter supplement that happens to be a neurohormone that people use to help them get to sleep or to get over jet lag, and it's very good for both things. However, I had discovered in taking melatonin for my trying to get to sleep is that it really intensifies dreams. I mean, like off the charts, the vividness of the dream, the intensity of the emotions in the dreams. So at this point in my life, I was doing this little, you know, scientific experiment to find the dose response curve of melatonin in dreams. And I thought, well, if you keep taking more and more, maybe you'll have some really, really intense, fun dreams. So that night I took 40 milligrams or so, and 3 milligrams is about what people took to get to sleep or to get over jet lag. So I was taking like 10 times the amount, which really, it's not toxic or anything. So I didn't feel like I was endangering myself by doing this. So I take the melatonin, and naturally I get kind of sleepy, turned off the little lamp by my bed and went to sleep. Well, I woke up sometime later in the middle of the night, and I realized as soon as I opened my eyes that there was something very, very wrong. As in, oh my God, I'm going to die. There's something wrong. And I really felt like what was happening at that moment was going to kill me. And what it was is I felt the strongest, most intense sense of something else in that room. Some kind of entity, some kind of intruder, ghost, whatever it might have been. But it felt as real as seeing you guys out there feel real to me right now. And so what I was trying to do was sit up and turn on the light, because it was still kind of dark. The only light was coming from the bathroom door, which was closed, so it was just a little bit of light leaking out. But I found I couldn't move. I couldn't move my arms. I couldn't move my legs. I couldn't move my head to sit up or turn to see what else was in the room. I couldn't move anything except my eyes. So I'm just laying there, completely and utterly paralyzed, just looking around with my eyes, feeling this thing in the room, which was absolutely the most terrified I've ever been. I mean, I've been in some rough, scary situations in my life, but I've never been as close to as terrified as I was by this thing that I couldn't see, but I could feel. And the malevolence of it is hard to characterize. It felt like not only did it want to kill me, but it wanted to sort of like eat my soul or something. I mean, it was just pure demonic malevolence, unlike anything I'd ever experienced. So at this point, my heart is beating so fast, I felt like it was going to explode. And the fear was so overwhelming that I thought if I didn't die from my heart exploding in my chest, I was going to die just from being frightened to death. And this is absolutely what I was sure was going to happen. And then I don't remember what happened after that until the next morning when I woke up. And the light was shining in. Julie was there. There was no malevolent intruder in the bedroom anymore. And, you know, I'd read enough. I've always been into psychology and things like that. I read enough that I kind of realized that what I'd had was a classic sleep paralysis episode. And sleep paralysis is something that is universal in human experience. Every culture has some kind of description of sleep paralysis, but they just vary in how they describe it. In some Scandinavian cultures and in the southern U.S., it's known as being ridden by the old hag, because people envision it as a scary old woman that's sitting on your chest, because a lot of times people feel like something's pressing down on them. That's a big part of the iconography. In other cultures, it's as if someone dead, the spirit of a dead person, crawls on top of you. But inevitably, in all of these cultures, the single common thing is that whatever this thing is that you feel has entered your room, is it's demonic, or it's really, really horrible, malevolent, it's bad, it's either the dead, or it's a demon, or it's a monster, or something like that. It's universal across cultures. Of course, science explains sleep paralysis as sort of a little, when your brain goes a little haywire, because normally when you go to sleep and dream, your brain shuts your body down. It actually paralyzes your body, because if you're dreaming that you're having a fist fight with someone, you know, you wouldn't want to be, you know, punching out your significant other as you're lying in bed. Or if you're running in your dream, you know, you don't want to be laying there in your bed running like that. So the brain naturally shuts down the body while we're dreaming, while we're in REM sleep. So apparently, the most commonly accepted theory of sleep paralysis is that what happens is, for some weird reason, you become conscious in your dream, and but your body, your brain is still telling your body to be paralyzed. But no one can really, I mean, there's a couple different theories about what causes that fear, you know, what causes that weird sense of something else. And it's really, to me, it's not that convincing, but maybe we just don't understand the brain that well. But that's the thing that stuck with me, more so than the paralysis, is, I mean, you're absolutely convinced, and maybe some of you have had these experiences too. They happen to about 1% of the population. They tend to happen to kids and then people in their 20s and 30s. More often, some people it happens to them all the time. Some people it happens and it lasts for hours. I can't even imagine that. This felt like it lasted an hour, but it was probably about 5 minutes. So, you know, it's quite obvious what happened to me. I had a classic sleep paralysis incident, except for one thing. When I woke up the following morning, Julie looked at me. She pointed to my chest and she said, "What's that?" And I looked down from what I could see, and it looked like a red handprint on my chest. And she's like, "Oh, you must have slept on your hand funny or something, you know." But she looked kind of spooked when she said it. So I went in the bathroom and looked in the bathroom mirror, and as clear as if it had been painted on in bright red paint was a handprint on my chest. It literally looked like someone had taken spray paint with a stencil and put a little hand in there. So I tried to take my hand and fit it so that it would fit the hand, and it didn't fit the hand. So that was creepy. Then I noticed that the fingers of the hand were about 2 inches longer than my fingers, which added still another layer of weirdness to this. But the weirdest thing of all, and when I noticed this, I just about crawled out of my skin, is the hand had 6 fingers. It had a thumb and 5 long fingers. So I showed that to Julie, and, you know, she was just about as creeped out as I was, and we just kind of sat around, and it faded away. So this isn't something you get over quickly, you know, is the weird 6-fingered long handprint on your chest after a night of sleep paralysis. So I started doing a little more research into melatonin, and I found out that melatonin is chemically in the class of chemicals called tryptamines. Tryptamines also include psilocybin, which is the active ingredient in magic mushrooms, and there's a chemical called DMT, which is the active ingredient in ayahuasca, the stuff people go down to Brazil and take to, you know, heal themselves and have wild visions. But the interesting thing about DMT is people who take DMT, they can either smoke it or you could take it orally in ayahuasca mixed with some other plants, is a lot of these people swear that when they're under the influence of this DMT, this chemical, this other tryptamine, kind of sort of in the same family as melatonin, they experience other beings. And if you talk to these people, and I've talked to them, they will swear, as again, the way I felt that entity in my room was real as you are, they will say the same thing. Those entities that they see when they're under the influence of this chemical are as real as you guys or me right now. So, you know, this kind of kick-started some really weird thoughts in my head. Also, melatonin is produced, it's mostly concentrated in the pineal gland, which is right here. It's the mystical, you know, it's the mystics call the third eye, which is associated with psychic abilities and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, this thing got a little deeper for me there. So, you know, naturally I'm thinking, well, you know, I write weird stuff. I've always read scary books and things like that. I'm thinking, well, did taking all this melatonin kind of, did it open up some kind of doorway or conduit? Did something real manifest itself? I mean, I don't know how a hallucination from sleep paralysis can leave physical marks on the body. You know, but as with a lot of stuff, I have to be skeptical of myself. Because once you go down the weird little rabbit hole, you know, you can kind of get stuck down there. So I still don't really have an explanation for what happened. I just know what happened. I know it was real. And I think sometimes the scariest 3 words that you can actually have as a belief are, I don't know. Thank you.